You are listening to Sheep Might Fly, a podcast of serialized fiction written and read by Tansy Rayner Roberts. It is raining all the rain here in Tasmania. What's the weather like where you are? If you listen very carefully, you might be able to hear the rain as I read. Or not. I don't know really how this new microphone works. Let's give it a go. Kissing Basilisks, Chapter 16. Last New Year, I gave you my heart, and the very next day, dot, dot, dot. New Year's Eve, 2 years ago. Viola found Chauvelin on the back balcony, which was a waste of his killer suit and her killer dress, but what the hell? This party was always a waste of their time. She could feel his magic even before she stepped out the glass doors to reach him. Shadowmancy thought it was so subtle. But she'd been around Chauvelin since long before he learned his many layers of control. She could feel his power in her bones. He was going to be brilliant someday. It was annoying, though at least Chauvelin had put some effort into his first year of uni studies. Not like Jules, who breezed in late, skipped half his lectures, and somehow still did amazingly. "How's your party bingo card going?" Chauve asked, as Viola approached. She tugged her hem down a bit and sat carefully beside him on the cold, sculpted bench. They were in darkness here. The party areas were all carefully lit with paper lanterns, the boundaries marked out by impeccably dressed staff holding trays. This was not a party zone. 3 inappropriate jokes said to me by men old enough to be my father, 4 inappropriate jokes said by my father to girls my age while I was in earshot, and 3 members of the board who don't remember my name, but definitely know that I'm very young to be going into the postgrad program. Well, they have known you since you're in pigtails. Ugh, said Viola. I never wore pigtails. That was Jules. She eyed him. How's your bingo card going? Chauve shrugged. Professor Hecate's leaning on me to drop Dr. Chalmsnare's class next semester so I can work on special projects with her instead. You're the one who wanted mentorship from a grey ops legend. If you want to excel in the field. I guess. Means that my course load will be like 75% shadowmancy. Oh, and you were so looking forward to padding out your degree with a course in Victorian poetry. Chauve laughed along with her. Yeah, yeah. Dad says it's good to specialise, but he also wants me to keep on with Chalmsnare's class for political reasons. Viola rolled her eyes. No one can say our fucked up families didn't prepare us for life in academia. Everything has been for political reasons since we were picking out birthday themes. She nudged his shoulder. So, what are you going to do? Oh, both, said Chauve, like it wasn't even a question. I don't need a life, or a girlfriend, or parties. I can just work forever and be the perfect basilisk son. He sounded bitter, which wasn't like him. Viola laid her head on his shoulder. We're literally at a party right now, and you hate it, she reminded him. She could feel the vibrations through the floor of the balcony, the music and all the mingling magics. This isn't a party. This is my father, and your father, and their friends, reminding us all how much control they have over our futures. The future warlocks of Australia, aren't we fine? You're drunk, she accused. And accurate. He actually didn't sound drunk at all. Viola lifted her head and made him turn to face her. His dark eyes were clear. Chauve, are you all right? His mouth turned up in a soft smile, and for one terrified moment, she thought he might be about to kiss her. That would ruin everything, wouldn't it? Hey, losers! Jules Nightshade lurched through the glass doors, holding a bottle of champagne and 2 empty glasses. He put a glass in each of their hands, poured messy froth into both, and then dropped to the ground with his back against the railings, keeping the bottle for himself. So this is where the party is. Chauve can't attend parties anymore. He's too much of a swot, said Viola lazily, licking champagne off her hand, thanks to Nightshade's dodgy pouring skills. You can talk, Ms. Submitting Three Formal Publications Before Postgrad Even Begins Vale, teased Chauve. The tension between them was gone, thanks to Jules. Had it ever been there? Everything made more sense when it was the three of them. Oh, so you will find time for us, little people, while rewriting the building blocks of magic? Viola teased back. So, remember when I said Merryweather was super into me? Jules broke in, sounding smug. Viola looked closer. His hair was a mess, and his clothes had definitely been put back on in a hurry. Oh, no, she groaned. Not Campion, he's such a dick. Hey, I could have meant his brother. You know, the nice one. You never choose nice over hot. You admit he's hot. Chauve looked pained. Tell me you didn't have sex in my bed. Again. Nightshade smirked and necked more of his champagne. A gentleman doesn't tell. A gentleman definitely tells his friend if sheets need to be cleaned. True, true. I totally had sex in your bed. New Year's Eve, 1 year ago. Viola was wearing a sharp dress and sharper eyebrows, but there was no one at this party to appreciate how great she looked. No one she wanted to appreciate her anyway, considering that most of her father's friends were like 100 years old. Oh, there were plenty of sons of her father's friends hanging around in their fancy suits, but she'd pretty much blown through the best dateable and bangable options among them already. At least those who were dateable and or bangable and had not already fallen into bed with Jules, which limited her options a lot. She tried to avoid crossover where possible. Anyway, it was less than inspiring to flirt with boys she'd known since she was a small child. No, Viola was committed to a new plan for this year. If she bothered with men at all, she would move outside the basilisk pool. Outside Belladonna U altogether, unless some attractive foreign postgrad caught her eye. She was tutoring firsties this year, and that meant hooking up with undergrads at the College of the Real had a whole new level of risk to it, even if most of them were the same age she was. Speaking of problematic, she spotted Nightshade schmoozing with a handsome Bulgarian warlock who was way too old for him, and dragged him away with an apologetic smile that Viola found was useful for most occasions. Where is he? She hissed. I don't know. Hiding from his overcompensating parents? No one had expected the Chauvelins to host the New Year's party this year. Sure, it was a tradition that the High Quill of the Basilisk Board took on hosting duties, but, well, surely Nicholas and Marine would not want to make a spectacle of their damaged son. Not with him so recently out of hospital. Turned out, yes, they were more than happy to make a spectacle. The Chauvelins dressed in their usual glam finery and welcomed all their peers to yet another outrageously stylish New Year's party, as if absolutely nothing had changed. Chauve had gone along with it at first, dressed up to the nines in a designer suit, the perfect basilisk son. He shook hands or kissed cheeks with anyone who approached. He even smiled once or twice when the conversation suggested that it was the only appropriate response. It was killing him. It was breaking her heart. Because what Chauvelin hadn't done was shake Nightshade's hand or kiss Viola's cheek. He was avoiding them, still. He'd been weird around them ever since he came home from hospital, not returning calls, not answering texts. She missed him so much she thought her magic was going to punch a fireball out of her chest. And wouldn't that be diplomatic? He's fine, grumbled Jules. He's just being an asshole because we still have our magic. Viola slapped him on the arm. You can't say that. Sorry, are we lying to him as well? Pretty sure he gets enough of that from Mr. and Mrs. Denial. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have a Bulgarian to seduce. Viola found Chauve eventually. It was so strange having to search, not just reach out to recognise his magic with her own. He wasn't on the balcony she thought of as theirs. No, it was worse than that. He was in the middle of the room, making small talk. Of course, this was the one party he decided to attend properly. She made polite but impatient niceties, hovered on the edge of the group, who were all watching him carefully like he was an exhibit in a zoo. Viola caught at least two of them, gently testing his magical boundaries, and without moving an inch, she stung their fingers with a soundless charm. The crowd dispersed pretty quickly after that. "What do you want?" Chauve muttered. "I want you to stop acting like me and Nightshade are like the rest of them," said Viola. "We're not strangers you have to play act with." "Dance with me," he said, impulsively, going from distant to way too close, so quickly it made her head spin. He put his hand on her waist, stepping further into her space. "Come on, let's have some fun." "I might if you meant it," she said, irritably. Still, dancing had to be better than being ignored, didn't it? Chauve pressed up against her, his head tilted down like he was angling for a kiss. "Do you want to go up to my room?" he purred, his meaning obvious. Viola moved away quickly. She didn't like the intense look in his eyes. "What the hell are you doing?" "Why not?" he demanded of her. "Why shouldn't we? Unless you're ashamed to be with me, now I'm not the Shadowmancy Student of the Year with the big bright future." It's not like Viola had never thought about it, her and Chauve. Hard to think about anything else when their parents had been mentally planning their wedding since they were kids. But she couldn't get past how much it would devastate Nightshade. And now, maybe he was testing her to see how weirded out she was about him losing his magic. But proving a point was a shitty reason to sleep with someone. "I want my friend back," she told him. His eyes flashed. "I have other offers, you know. I'm so proud. I've collected more numbers than Nightshade tonight. You'd be amazed how many of the powerful warlocks in this room have wives who always wanted to fuck a null." And now she couldn't see the anger or the arrogance in him, just the hurt. "Don't call yourself that," Viola said automatically. It was a horrible word. Something kids yelled at other kids who were slower to find their magic. And the technical exact meaning of the word, well, that was worse. "It's what I am," he said. "Your mother said they were looking into options," Viola said desperately. "Cures." And that, of course, was exactly the wrong thing to say. New Year's Eve. Last night. So this party sucked. Pretending to be amazingly happy so no one would guess she was miserable about the whole deck thing had worn Viola down to the bone. She was a bit drunk. She couldn't taste anything but sour sangria on her tongue, and she had no energy left to feel anything but hollow when she looked out the kitchen window and saw them. Her boys, Nightshade and Chauvelin. The gay one and the straight one, both completely off limits to her and to each other. That was how their friendship worked. They all kept pretending that Jules' crush on Chauve had gone away when they were about 15, that Chauve hadn't propositioned Viola a year ago, and that nothing would ever, ever change between the three of them now they had their friendship back. It was an important pretense. It worked. It was structural. It was an hour before midnight on New Year's Eve when Viola looked out the kitchen window to see those two shadowy figures leaning into each other. "This is it," she thought desperately. "This is the thing that breaks us." She didn't think about Hebe until later. Viola met them on the stairs because apparently she couldn't even quietly flounce out of the party without being confronted with them both, Nightshade and Chauvelin, walking far too close together. They didn't even look guilty. Chauve looked dazed and glassy-eyed. Was he drunk? Jules looked confused and irritable. But Viola cleared her throat and gave them her most unimpressed expression. And there was the guilt. Vale, Chauve started to say. She waved him off. I don't care. Why would I care that you're trying to wreck everything? It was just a kiss, said Jules. He already sounded heartbroken, which was exactly what shouldn't be happening right now. Didn't Chauve realize how easily they could lose him? How easily they could all lose each other? They were adults now. Adults didn't have to stay friends because their parents encouraged it. Is this what you want? Viola demanded of Chauve, who was clearly the one to blame here. Jules had been hiding feelings for years. Of course he was going to kiss back if the boy he'd always loved came at him in a darkened corner on a New Year's Eve. Because if you're going to screw up this entire friendship, it should be for both of us. It made sense in her head. Less sense when she threw herself at Chauve, who caught her rather than let her hurtle down the stairs, because he was a gentleman. Viola kissed him hard, and for a moment he kissed her back, his mouth open under hers, because apparently he wasn't making any good decisions tonight. Viola only stopped kissing Chauve when she heard a broken wheezing sound and realised that Jules was laughing himself sick, one hand clutching the banister. You're the worst, he sputtered in delight rather than jealousy. I hate you so much, Viola flung back at him. But she was also on the edge of laughter, the kind of manic laughter that was really hard to breathe through. Please don't kiss me too, gasped Jules. I can't deal with straight panic right now. It might kill me. He held his hand out, though, and she clutched him back, and they were okay. After a moment, when she'd recovered herself, Viola looked at Chauve. He had made no move to get away from her painfully inappropriate advances. He looked distant, like he wasn't even there with them. He wasn't laughing. Are you all right? She asked him. Someone had to. I have to go, Chauve said abruptly and pushed her at Jules, then headed back up to the heaving party. Tell me I'm an idiot, said Jules. He wasn't laughing anymore either. He put his head in his hands and groaned. Viola sighed and sat next to him on the stairs. You're such an idiot, she told him. But everything's going to be okay. Thank you for listening to Sheep Might Fly. We'll be back to the proper timeline next week for chapter 18. 17. I have lost count. All right, 17 next week. It's fine. You can sign up for my author newsletter for updates. Follow me on Twitter at TansyRR or at Sheep Might Fly. Find me on Facebook at TansyRR Books. And if you like this podcast, consider supporting me at Patreon, where you can receive all kinds of cool rewards, early ebooks, and exclusive stories for a small monthly pledge. The paperback of Holiday Brew, the next Belladonna U collection, will be offered as a special offer very soon on Patreon, and pre-orders will be available elsewhere eventually. All right, talk to you soon. Bye.